Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. I understand I have been elevated from a poker or demoted from a poker to watchman in cricketing terms. That ain't a problem because cricket was never my thing. It was never my strong suit. So you could call me whatever you want. Down to Brass Tacks, good morning.
Morning.
Morning, sir. How are you going?
Water boy, bro.
Yeah, I like that. I like the juice and water story.
Have fun.
Yeah, and hopefully they may got something in the water car other than tea.
Yeah, no, they have just got a lot of power.
A little XO Monge.
Yeah, XO with some coke.
That's it.
And a lot of ice.
Yep. You better believe it.
And you can sip till morning. You don't be drunk. Anyway, Peter, today I walked up with Parliament. What you observed in Parliament the last time, because I listen to Parliament every session.
You don't watch it online?
No, I prefer to listen to it. Mm. All right, so let me tell you what happened last week when I was listening to Parliament. George Payne was on the floor. He had the floor, and he was speaking. And as soon as he started talking about Clico and $10 million, the speaker tell him, sit down. And he continued to talk. And the speaker said, the speaker with the deputy. And the deputy speaker said, sit down. I have issues with that kind of behavior. She did it also, Edmund Hinkson. You can't treat people in Parliament like if it's your children, tell them, well, sit down. Mm-hmm. I got issues with that. The other thing I noticed in Parliament last week, too, was this. When Christina get to finish off the debate on an issue. And Innes, Dov Innes, start a broadside on Payne. And you could hear it through the radio loud and clear. Christina didn't say a word. He just stood still, knowing full well that what Innes was saying would be going on here. And the speaker just sat there on a low. Mm-hmm. And it's to try to humiliate George Payne. I am saying that them things ain't right. And let me tell Sam what I think about Parliament too, Peter. I feel the savior on these calling programs. And these calling programs have that delay system to avoid any litigation or to avoid people talking foolish things about people that ain't necessary to, that you necessarily can't get litigation on. So what the calling programs do, as we all know, as the family, that they cut you when you talk saying that ain't right. And I believe that Parliament should got that same kind of system. Somebody in Parliament, the engineer in Parliament, somebody in the radio station, somebody somewhere should have a delay system where when the politicians start to talk foolishness in Parliament, you could cut them. When they start, like I hear a certain man, politician from the Eastern Christchurch saying, I know it is foolish. I know it is not nice to call this body ignorant or say that the last something like that there, and then call the body name and say he apologized for calling the body name. That kind of behavior is unbecoming. And I feel like they should got a system in place to cut them kind of comments.
The problem that you're going to have, though, is that who can decide what is to cut and what is not to cut? Because part of being a member of Parliament means that you have freedom to speak on any and all matters, and you can determine or you can be deciding that you're going to be editing what a parliamentarian says. That is contrary to the rules of Parliament.
But that might be so in Parliament, but how about when they're coming out on air?
It's the same thing. The parliamentarians have a right not only to speak in Parliament, but to have their views reported. And the reporting of it will take not only the written form, but reporting of it now is also an electronic version.
But you know, Peter, if they come out of Parliament and say things, they can get out in court.
Well, right, precisely, and that's the reason why they would say them in Parliament.
But and I got issues with that. So I won't do about that. I have real issues with that kind of very disrespectful behavior.
You know, one of the problems, the reactions is normally is that the speaker will guide a member where a member steps out of line. The speaker will guide that member.
You mean the speaker should guide?
Right. And what you have said is that the speaker obviously was guiding, because if it is that two individuals were told to stand down, then obviously they were saying something that were frustrating the rules of Parliament.
But no, I see it to be more than that, especially in the case of George Payne. As he was making a very oil contribution, and as he get into the thing about Clicone, $10 million, he was asked to sit down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I really got problems with the way things are done in Parliament. And then the other very glaring thing was when he started, when Chris Tinkler started to make his final contribution to the wrap-up. And they started all these things about George Payne, and the speaker just allowed him to speak. We had to say we had to see it. And these things is wrong, Peter, real wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to say this here to you too about Parliament. I see this thing about calling people the honorable member.
You don't like it?
For the honorable member, that mm-hmm. there should be cut out.
Mm-hmm.
And they should implement something like what they use in the Congress and the Senate in the States. Where they would say, the member for St. Philip West.
And what's the difference?
Or the member for Christchurch East.
And what's the
or
difference?
Or the member for, you know, before saying this, honorable, because a lot of them people in Parliament are less than honorable, and they don't deserve the title of being called honorable. So you should refer to the which they really would be.
The member for
St. Lucie, the member for St. Michael Northwest, the member for St. Joseph, whatever, and then they don't have the floor.
Mm-hmm.
But Peter, I want to put a little scenario to you. I don't know what you are. The people listening would have to see about it. I feel that the senators, whoever want to be a senator, should have to go on the ballot paper on election day. So that if Peter Wickham want to be a senator, Peter Wickham can go through the same process as the parliamentarians and go on the ballot paper for it to be
decided. You don't have a problem with that.
Right. And for the Senate, the Governor General, the Director of Public Prosecutions, and somebody else I had in that line there, should have to go to the people for it to be decided if the people want those persons to be elected to whatever office. Because
why not go to the people directly?
Pardon?
Why not just elect them popularly?
That too. But I feel like if some positions in this country, those positions should not be filled by the Prime Minister alone.
All right, nominations. So you're saying let's have a popular election. So why not let's elect the lower house based on constituencies and elect the upper house nationally? In a way that's somewhat similar to the Senate, although the Senate in the U.S. is done based on states as well. But I'm saying we can have a Senate election. We can elect the same 21 people. We just elect them based on the persons that get the most votes.
Right.
There's a system that they use in the British Virgin Islands where they have at-large representatives. My feeling is that there's no reason why our upper house cannot become similar to that, where all of the members who are elected run. But this idea about somebody getting in because they're a manufacturer, somebody getting in because they're Christian, somebody getting in because they're Hindu, somebody getting in because they had money, somebody getting in because they got poor, I mean, that's foolishness. And I don't like the idea of a governor general having the opportunity to be the final arbiter in terms of who represents what in Barbados. I feel it should be a representative chamber, like the lower house, and that people, if they want to become a senator, they should run.
You will run
for a seat?
If I run for a seat?
Yeah, in the Senate.
Why not? Why I'm capable of being a senator in this country?
I don't see anything wrong with that.
Why feel like I could be a minister too?
Yeah, you probably
could. Because
they
don't take to be a minister in this country. you've got a whole entourage of people behind you, guiding you and telling you what you should do.
Okay.
Then you could got people like John Boyce as a minister.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis Kilmer as a minister.
Patrick Todd.
Patrick Todd.
And, my favorite minister.
And the man with Dennis Sloan, that kind of people as ministers. Mm-hmm. Why I could be a minister?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Peter, you'll make a better minister than a lot of them, fellas. But I really feel that, I really honestly believe that you got to look at some constitutional reform to bring some greater enlightenment to the parliament of this country, because the real things are happening in the parliament, I really got issues with.
I can't wait for it to start, for that conversation to start, and I am ready to come with my ideas to bring to the fore, because I do feel that we need some constitutional reform in this country. There are too many things that are going on that we should have. Somebody here telling you, Peter, in parliament, honorable is a favorite gift, not merit, accomplished. Okay.
It's a gift and not none that is merited, because mm-hmm. you got a lot of people in Parliament that's referred to as the honorable member for, and that is nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Peter, I really honestly...
I've never understood why you can't call people by the name. You know, instead of the honorable member for St. Michael, St. Michael Northeast, just call them the name, Miss Mia Motley.
Like, like in the Senate.
Yeah, you know, just calling in. No, but they, I think they have the distinguished gentleman. I think they use the phrase distinguished gentleman or distinguished gentle lady from wherever. But my thing is, why can't you just call the person by name?
Who uses the distinguished thing?
I think the Americans use the distinguished gentleman from wherever. Yeah, that's right.
No,
yeah.
they say the member for, I think.
You check it out. I believe that the distinguished gentleman or distinguished gentle lady is a phrase
and,
that
and
is used.
And the stubborn ranking, this ranking person and the next ranking person.
Well, the ranking Democrats and ranking Republicans is a question of their
high in office. To finish off, I just want to say that I really honestly believe that we need some constitutional reform in this country to do things like election, fix election dates. Mm-hmm. That nobody can't play around with the people in this country.
Term limits.
Well, term limits in a sense, mm-hmm. because when some people will think, but when I talk about term,
no term,
term
limits for the prime minister, only the prime minister.
No. But I believe if a person is capable of winning the thing 3-4 times elections, I ain't got a problem with that. What the problem I got is the time that you call the election. Mm-hmm. Like the parliament is going to be dissolved next month, and then the prime minister have the option of
30 days.
Calling elections down next 3 months down the line.
I feel that
is not nice. Yeah. Once the parliament is dissolved, right
call
after
election.
The disillusionment of the parliament, mm-hmm. you should call election. That's what I feel.
Right.
Anyway, Peter.
All right, sir. Thanks a lot for chatting. It was good to have been able to speak to you. Peter, they are definitely not honorable. Indeed, they are often dishonorable. Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Brass Tacks. Good morning, Peter. A drunken man would catch at a straw. I read with some amusement one of the papers where the Honorable Chris Sinclair making the assertion that the Barbados Labour Party forms the next government. The Honorable Mia Motley will be the next Adolf Hitler. Isn't that how they are governing? The poor in this country are being oppressed through no fault of their own. Get real, Minister Sinclair, get real. Down to Brass Tacks, good morning.
You know what amazes me about this whole process?
Hey, Mr. Auntie America, how are you, sir?
Oh, Lord. I try to disguise my voice or something. Like, it don't work.
It's good. No, ain't no problem, because last week people was calling for you. People said the program was boring and they're calling for Auntie America.
Oh, geez.
Where is Auntie?
Man, no, man. Yeah. That kind of thing is put target for your forehead, man.
No problem.
Man.
I tell you, they got people that like to hear you. You know, they got people that detest you, but there are people that like to hear you. So anyhow, let me talk about this situation with me and your leader, and the leader of the UPP, and see if you can bring some calm to this situation. Why does Lynette Eastman think I have a problem with her?
I don't know. Ask Lynette.
Have I ever told you or said anything that would lead you to believe I have a problem with her? All I said is that I think that the party is a dud, and they ain't going nowhere, and they're not going to win a seat. And it is motivated by a dislike for Mia Motley. All of those things I said. But I haven't said anything about her. I think she's a pretty nice lady.
Okay.
I know you think so too, right?
The comments that you have said don't really help anything, you know. That's the problem, you see.
But in a question because of helping, media, but you, media, I gotta be honest and tell you as an analyst that the party is not going anywhere.
Because, 800 years ago, to be honest, Europeans would have thought that if it went beyond a certain amount, distance out to sea, you fall off the edge.
Right, and if I am to be proven wrong, let me be proven wrong. But in the meantime,
it's
just
not that you're proven wrong. You can help shape the outcome by the comments that you make.
I walked the length and breadth of Barbados last election saying I did not think the Democratic Labour Party would win, and guess what? They won. So if it is that this time around, I am saying I do not believe that the UPP or Solutions Barbados or any of them will get a single seat. And they will get a seat, and I will be wrong again.
Keep on. I understand your logic. Keep doing what you're doing.
Right. So that is all it is. But I don't understand why all of this. Everybody keeps talking about me on Facebook.
No, but.
Tell her to keep Peter Wickham's name out of her mouth. I don't have a problem. I really don't have a problem with her on a personal level. It's just that what I think that she's doing right now is designed to ensure the Democratic Labour Party will remain in office. And it is being done out of spite.
So be it.
But it is being done on the spite.
You are giving the impression that she's doing it because she wants the Dems to win again. That's probably what you are thinking.
I don't think she wants the Dems to win again. She doesn't want Mia to win. She wants Mia to lose.
But I think the Dems winning again is
unintended consequence, one can argue. It's like collateral damage.
It hasn't happened yet. That's the thing about it. Yeah. So don't promote it when it ain't going to happen. You see? I mean, I hear these guys talking about visionary leadership and that kind of thing. And you were just there speaking about constitutional reform.
I was, indeed, yes. And the Senate proposal is something you should be able to wrap your mind around, because it means that people like you that are calling on the program that have all of these ideas can run for national post. And no, I can tell you that you will never win a constituency in this country. But at the national level, somebody with your kind of views and ideas may very well get enough votes to become a national representative.
Man, you let me
because
talk.
There is a market for what you talk. Right?
Look, okay. A visionary leader would be the ones to come and say, you know something, let's rationalize this whole thing. Let me start registering parties now as going concerns so they can declare
problem.
The assets.
Let's do it.
And declare the incomes and
right,
declare
let's do it.
What they call the source of application of funds.
Let's do
you
it.
See? Yeah, but that's what visionary leadership we're talking about. You see these visionaries that these guys are cocking up, bringing forward, talking about those kind of things? Huh? You can look at me and tell me that requesting that there be an oversight committee
but that's a small
for Kiko is visionary?
Right.
Well, I don't understand.
That's a small thing.
Normally, intelligent people, when it comes to politics, talk so much damn foolishness. Huh? Mm-hmm. I think we are stuck in this rut because we are faced with a choice of one Labour Party showing two different faces. And that's why we are stuck. And any opportunity to break out of that mold is being shut down.
So we're going
to
break it.
Press,
you go ahead.
The press is not helping. The press always keeps the discourse between D and B, and what B say and what D didn't do. You end up with the same damn fool. Look, they are all one and the same with the same outlook. I don't see any industrial development campaigning on any side, on either of the side. I don't see any respect for the artists and barbers from either side. You can look at me and tell me that me, not being part of the services revolution, because that's what it has been since the 1960s, not being part of that particular evolving situation, I'm going to be kind to either of these parties when they've shown absolutely no liking for people that use their hands and play instruments and blow and piano and draw and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Why should I show any liking to either side?
But let me ask you, having said that, let me ask you this question. Do you think that it is remotely possible that after the next election, a party other than the Barbados Labour Party or Democrat Labour Party will be in government?
I would love...
No. I'm not asking you what you would love. I'm not asking you what you would love.
Yeah.
Do you think it is remotely possible?
Yeah, I think it's remotely possible.
You probably would love Miss Barbados too, but she ain't gonna like you, so it's not about that.
No, but if I talk too long enough, she may like me.
I suspect not. So I'm saying let's deal with reality. And the reality of the election, maybe you're too young, yeah. The reality of the election is that it will
be
between... But it will be between two political parties. If you can tell me no. Listen, I had a conversation with a UPP supporter over the weekend. A good conversation, you know, a white lady like you. And she was... No, you're not a white lady, but, you know, you're white as well. So,
I could be a lady. It could be anything you want me to be.
So she's basically saying, look, Peter, give the party a chance. It's the same thing that you're saying. And she's talking about the fact that there is a market for alternative thinking, that this is what the UPP is playing for. It's playing for alternative thinkers. They want thinkers like me
young
on board.
Young people,
et cetera, et cetera. Right?
She wanted that.
I said to her, listen, if you can tell me which seat the UPP can win, then we can have a conversation about what the UPP can do to change the face of politics in Barbados. She compared the UPP to the NDP in Canada. And she said that the NDP, by virtue of the fact that they have a small number of votes, are able to influence a direction along a liberal path in Canada. And I said to her, I agree with you entirely. If it were possible for the UPP to win a single seat, they could possibly do that in a situation where we don't have a landslide. However, you need first to tell me which seat you are going to win. So I will ask you that question now. Can you tell me which seat the UPP is likely to win, has a realistic expectation of winning, coming out of the next election? And if you can't identify a seat, you're wasting my time. All you're doing is looking to split the vote. Because if you're not in there to win, you're in there to force somebody to lose.
You let me talk?
Again, like you know, that's the problem.
David Commissioner almost beat, what's your name again? Billy Miller. The Honorable Billy Miller. God, you just were honorable nowadays.
About
20 years ago.
I don't recall that.
David Commissioner, a virtual independent.
I don't recall.
You don't recall that? But yes, he almost did. And then he lost his vote.
So which seat y'all gonna win?
I know you got Monk Stinkaru.
Auntie, which seat are you going to win?
Right now, I remember when Bridgetown people know.
I ain't giving you a chance. You know, I'm dealing with you the same way you deal with me. Let's go down the road. Which seat you gonna win?
I remember when you had a photo opportunity when the Prime Minister went down a pat of Rasta map in the head. They said, "Don't worry, we gonna fix this thing."
I remember that.
Bridgetown people there, stink.
So which seat?
You gonna forget that there? So Bridgetown is open for grabs.
So which seat? You win in Bridgetown?
I think Bridgetown is open up.
Sir, what is the margin that you have to...
I am not a member of your particular clan. I don't deal with those numbers.
Not a question of particular clan. I am just saying to you realistically, you are coming with a candidate. You are coming with a candidate that could not win St. Philip in the last two elections.
But St. Philip, people foolish.
And you are bringing her in Bridgetown. And you are saying to me that she can win in Bridgetown?
It is not about the candidate. It is about the
Have you done any... Has the UPP done any polling of their own? To suggest that this is possible?
You'd rather have people shut down and don't do anything and stick with the Barbados Labour Party and the Democrat Labour Party for the rest of their lives. That's what you want to do.
No, what I would say to you is if you're bringing a party to me...
You cannot win, so don't even bother.
If you are bringing a party to me and you're saying that this party can influence...
Don't wake up in the morning, don't go work because you may get in an accident.
No, that ain't true.
Come give me a break, man, Peter, man. You earn a foreign exchange in Barbados and most people, single people. I would say to you, don't go there because you can't earn a foreign exchange. But stop over there.
No, but if you tell me that and I go on the earth for an exchange, I prove you wrong.
It has not happened. So what you're saying is it's going to happen because all the polls suggest that. You don't know. Suppose somebody come ignite the parliament buildings, as was the case in Germany. Mm-hmm. And then they say, oh, Lord, look, them people are responsible. And all of a sudden, the entire thing shifts. I'm not going on that road with you.
What I'm trying to understand is the strategy of the UPP for winning. What is the UPP winning strategy? So you're saying the UPP believes they can win Bridgetown, right?
UPP could win South Central too. So Central has always been a Democratic Labour Party stronghold because they have been always anti-B. And they put the back of B there in truth, but they could win.
Somebody is here telling me that this is my UPP friend. She's telling me, a lovely lady, she's saying St. Michael South, Christchurch West, and St. Michael North. Those are the three seats that the UPP will win. St. Michael South, Christchurch West, and St. Michael North.
South Central. I wish you had a candidate in St. James South. That's the truth.
You realize that Christchurch West is the seat that is held by William Dugan that has never been lost by the Barbados
Labour
Party.
Yeah, but Agar don't know that now, so what happened? That was a big problem.
But she won it under the BIP.
If they go back to William Dugan, something got to be wrong with them there. Something will have to be wrong.
Well, I could tell
something. But they up and wet the candidate I suspect because of some presumed advantage.
I would be interested in a wager, on a bet. I don't bet on politics. I tell people I do not bet on politics.
But that's
because,
what you're doing on it,
no? No. But I would be willing to wager. probably a brandy. That's the most I would bet, a brandy. That Christchurch Wrestling can be won by no UPP.
Okay.
So if y'all win it, you owe me
but
a brandy.
I'm not a member of that. I'm an anti-B, anti-D. That's who I am.
I'm anti-America.
I'm anti-Labour. Simple. So whether Solutions win or the other two other people, Adamson or the other people win, I am with it.
You know why I like Solutions Barbados? Huh? Whenever we have this conversation, you know why I like Solutions Barbados? I am impressed that Solutions Barbados seems to be bringing something new to the fore. Now, I do not like what they're bringing because they're coming with this Christian thing, and you know you and I, that's one of the few things you and I agree on.
There's no perfect world.
Right?
Because
when you come to me with that, you lose me. So they will not get my vote. But at the same time, I have more respect for them as an organization, because I get a sense that what they're saying is, look, I am bringing you something that none of the other parties are bringing. So you can consider the option that I have on the table. And I respect that. My problem is, what the UPP seems to be bringing is a warmed over suit from the Barbados Labour Party.
It doesn't really matter. The point is that they've done something differently.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the other people will do well to follow suit. Now, if the people would vote...
You can like this one. Somebody just write here, please save us from Peter Wickham or Arthur Edwards. Who's Arthur Edwards? You know Arthur Edwards?
I don't know who the hell he is. I would like to meet him because somehow they always seem to compare me with him. I know the man probably hate me. All right? But anyhow, I hear that he's a racist, so he ain't going to talk to me. Hey, wait, man. But the problem is this, okay?
UPP has a chance in Christchurch West and in the city, Peter. You are trying to stop the next defeat in the next election. So Christchurch West and the city. Somebody else writing UPP chance in Christchurch West and the city.
I would like to see a shift. I would like for this election to be something different.
You know what I would like to see?
I would like to see...
I would like if Owen Arthur decided to make himself a candidate for the UPP and he ran in St. Peter.
That would be a game changer.
He get beat too, but it would be a game changer.
Let me ask you a question. Which of the sitting members of the House can run as an independent and win a seat?
None.
Which ones?
None.
Not even Mia Motley?
Probably Mia Motley. Because if she goes, she carry a party with her.
If she goes, she will carry the party. You forget that they expel her already.
They removed her as leader. Yeah, but the point that I made at the lecture last night. Why you didn't come to my lecture last night, right?
Because I had things to do. Yeah, tennis night, Mike.
The point I made at that lecture was that what it did to Mia wasn't nothing it didn't do to Clyde Maskell, and wasn't nothing it didn't do to Kamala Passad-Bisesa. Kamala Passad-Bisesa was leader of the opposition and she was taken on by Basio Pandey.
So the point I was making,
all of this idea that what was done to Mia Bosley was so dastardly bad, and this is nothing unusual. It was done to both men and women. Kamala Passad-Bisesa, it was done to her, and she still emerged as Prime Minister of Trinidad and Tobago. Clyde Maskell, it was done to him, and unfortunately, he decided to cross the floor, and he went elsewhere. Certainly, if he had remained in the Democratic Labour Party, he'd be Prime Minister of Barbados today, if he had remained in the Democratic Labour Party,
he would still be fighting on it. No, then again, no, Thompson dead.
There you go. I mean, he wasn't to know that Thompson was going undead, but that's how it went.
There is a reality here, okay? We are dealing with issues of personalities in Parliament and not the way that they present to the public when it comes to solving problems. And neither side have been particularly good at that. This man is going to talk about how, you know, you were talking with him as well about how you can contain prisoners and how Guyana escape and stuff. The problem should not have occurred in the first place. Mm-hmm. Huh?
Somebody is now telling me that I need to be specific whether it is a bottle of brandy or a glass of brandy, right? Now, I don't drink brandy, so I think a glass would be better because it's just to make anti-America buy me something. But I don't drink brandy, so a glass would be good. And I don't necessarily need the fancy stuff.
I like to buy you a muzzle.
A simple brandy.
Now, you won't drink nothing. Don't watch, but that will shut you up too.
Another point that's being made here is that Sleepy Smith was also taken down as leader of the opposition. You recall when Arabarra went on sabbatical and gave the leadership of the party to Sleepy Smith. And then when he came back, he took it back up, and Sleepy Smith was again demoted. And that's when Sleepy left politics. So Mia is in good company. Sleepy Smith has always said
he has never won that.
Sleepy Smith, Kamala Passad-Bisesa, and Maskell were all done the same thing that were done to her.
Okay, but all that theatrics, all that is just showing for the public, and it doesn't really do anything at the end of the day. We have a serious governance model that needs repairing. Not repairing, it needs altering, because already it's working for some people. Mm-hmm. You know, people get involved in politics, and they come up with so much money, they're building apartments, you know? That's what they do. They don't really reinvest into the industrial activity.
You're real dangerous,
though.
You're dangerous.
I did it, but it is true.
Who is that got all of these apartments?
Well, I can't call the people's names because it's not one, it's a number.
You got Graham Vaughn scrambling for the drop button. let's not go down that road. I am in full agreement with you that we need to have reform in Barbados. You know, one of the things that bothers me in Barbados is that you do not have a situation where persons like yourself that have ideas can bring those ideas to the fore. You don't have those situations. Right?
But we're getting a visionary leader to do it, right?
Yeah, but the point... No, I'm not saying a visionary leader. The point I'm making is that if someone can say to me that they will give me the opportunity to participate in the process of electoral reform that will bring these things, I feel we can start to have a conversation.
But we had that conversation back in the early 90s.
Well, you know what? And it didn't go anywhere.
Thing. Huh? But yeah. the change in composition of the Senate, I think it was, to give more independent seats, I believe that it was. That's what it was. Something like that happens. Well, I am on board
in terms of that. And what I can say is that there's more likely, the party that is most likely to give me the opportunity to participate in electoral reform, I am there. But you're going to win first, right? And while the UPP may be talking that talk, the UPP ain't going to win. So it ain't making any sense to me. Wrap up, please, final word from you, because we're going to have to run.
What is so wrong with being a representative of a particular interest group and having that interest group determine that you are the one that they want to represent them in the Senate? What is wrong with that? You know, if I happen to be from big business, big white business or whatever, we have a collective, and we say this man will be our man in the Senate, and not no prime minister conferring with an opposition leader who happens to be of the same party when done, and then they go and talk to a governor general who was chosen by the two of them in the first place to determine that this man will sit in the post. The people who are represented in the Senate should be put there by the people who they represent. I'm not talking about a national poll, not national poll. Just the organizations that they represent. Labour should determine who their person is. Education should determine who their person is. Defense and security should determine. Culture should determine. They should have their own representatives in the Senate, and they will be protecting the citizens from the stupid decisions that a maid in the lower house, which happens a little too regularly, like fingerprinting Barbados and stuff. That's what I have to tell you.
Okay. Thanks a lot for calling, sir. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks, 4341790. Peter, please devote a program to discussing constitutional reform. Specifically, Freedom of Information Act, Freedom of Speech, Transparency and Integrity. These are fundamental to the parliamentary changes that are desperately required in Barbados. What say you? And I say I agree. We've actually had a few programs in the past dealing with just those things. The challenge, of course, is that I think that people are tired of talking. They need some action. You know, another one is saying, forget about the Senate. Let's go unicameral plus separation of powers. And I thought that we already had separation of powers. As a middle-aged person in Barbados, I can safely say Dench for another 5 years will be worse than being tortured. I'm embarrassed by the words that came from the leaders of the Democratic Labour Party. They need to be eradicated like cockroaches. That's a hard statement there to make, boy. I love it for Arthur. Oh, I love Arthur. He has the head to bring us out of this situation. This is someone supporting Mr. Owen Arthur, presumably. Peter, please tell anti-America that if we Philippines were foolish enough to think... I'm sorry. Please tell anti-America that if we Philippines were as foolish as he thinks we are, Lynette Eastman would have won 10 years ago. And I cannot see her winning anything against Bostic. UPP supporters are in denial. And this is a proud Philippine. And she's saying that if they were as foolish as he thought they were, Lynette Eastman would have won 10 years ago. Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, Peter.
Morning, sir. How are you doing?
How are you doing, man?
I'm great, great, great.
Now, I want to be specific with these days. So I don't know if you have an almanac in front of you or anything that would give you dates.
I have a calendar.
Your calendar.
Yeah.
Now, let me look at the calendar so that people really understand the nature of how close this end of parliament is.
Mm-hmm.
Today is the 20th, mm-hmm. right? And from the 20th, let us assume that parliament will finish, the Senate will finish Friday,
right.
on the 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
It leaves you then with the 24th and the 25th, which is Saturday and Sunday. It means, therefore, there'll be three eligible days in the next week,
right.
which is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday and Friday, the 5 days.
Well,
then you got Saturday and Sunday again.
Let's simplify a little bit, because if it is that today is the 20th, right,
yeah.
and today is, Parliament is meeting today?
Yeah,
right.
The Senate.
The Senate is meeting today, but it's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say it's Parliament meets on Tuesdays, right? Because, oh, right, they can't meet because the Prime Minister is out of the island. How can
right.
I forget?
So
you really have one more sitting, because the 6th, which is next, two Thursdays, Tuesdays from now, it dissolves.
Right. As a matter of fact,
so
it'll be...
for all intents and purposes, next week is your last Tuesday that you can have Parliament.
Right.
Unless you call up on the weekend.
We can't have the next week.
Right. Okay.
So I don't know if people really understand the closeness of this thing.
Mm.
But... be that as it may, I want to deal with two other issues that I was following the estimates. I know I'm concerned about this IADB with this natural gas issue.
Mm-hmm.
So let me deal with what I heard in Parliament during the debate. Tell me if you can remember this quotation. Just as I am speaking to you, envelopes are being filled with income tax return. You remember that term? Huh?
I remember this statement.
Good. Just as I am speaking to you.
Envelopes are being filled. With the
yeah. Just as I am speaking to you, the ink is drained on the agreement of the sale of Four Seasons. You remember that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I heard, and a lot of people didn't pick up this, from Chris Sigler again?
Mm-hmm.
Just as I am speaking, buses are being unordered. this is last week, you know.
He says so?
But you know what, surprisingly, that the Minister of Transport and Work made no mention whatsoever in his presentation about buses, apart from what you're hearing now about dealing with the private sector to help remove transport. How politicians think that Barbados is so foolish to believe the things that they're saying. But I bet you didn't hear that one.
I didn't hear that one. No, about the
just
buses.
As I am speaking, buses are being unordered.
Mm-hmm.
You ever hear how many buses are already coming from behind? Any discussion pertaining to buses, apart from in the estimate, again, from just as I am speaking, because that's your favorite, just as I am speaking, this thing happening, and the next thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me get to the IAD, because I am confused about this IAD being with this natural gas.
Mm-hmm.
Peter, you recall last year that the Prime Minister said he increased the natural gas so that the whole country could get natural gas. You remember
I didn't recall hearing that. He said that? Maybe it was ODA.
You see, these are the things that people don't follow.
It was probably ODA then.
Yeah. Now, another thing with the IADB, with this loan, said 2,000 people began natural gas and seven business people. How do you arrive at them numbers? And who are these business people?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? These are questions that should be asked. Where are these 200 people that are going to benefit from this natural gas, where are they going to be located?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is question. You know why I am questioning the IADB or what is said about the IADB? You would recall that Minister Michael Lashley came on, it was a report in the paper, that $140 million was coming from an IADB loan to fix the roads. You can remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, we got to be careful when politicians at the eve election coming out making statements. And as the Prime Minister said, I had to laugh. The Prime Minister said, and always talk about society, and the estimate also, that the politicians of today are more educated politicians yesterday, because the politicians yesterday barely had secondary education.
Mm-hmm.
No, a politician come from the society. And if he believes that the politicians are more educated, he would believe the electorate is more educated too. Huh?
Of course.
But it seems to me like they believe that because they're Democrat, they're probably politicians, that they come from Mars. But just as they speak, people like myself and others would follow the trend. And I am intending, with the absence of Parliament, every educated person that could read or write, we know we don't have any oversight committee, which is Parliament, to foresee what's happening, from the civil service back down, should be monitoring and exposing everything that is being done that we feel is not right on behalf of the taxpayers, and bring it to light on this calling program. That is why this program would always be educational and informative. Because right now, CBC shut down and you got the callers complaining. Well, after the LP, they're concerned about them. They won't keep the program on. Huh?
Perhaps.
Anyhow, I can finish on that because I got to run. But Peter, you and other people and myself has to follow every see Bush cutting down, find out who cutting it down and where it cutting down. Because our country has to be their own watchmen. And do not let politicians play the boogeyman on us again. Thank you, Peter.
Thanks a lot for calling, sir. Peter, I want these people to bribe me with my own money. I want them to pay me my three income tax returns before they leave office. Mind you, I will still not vote for them, but they can try and see if they can influence me by bribing me with my own money. Peter, the Senate is a waste of time and a waste of money. The only way to divulge certain privileges, I think that's a different word he's thinking about. Anyhow, to certain people. Also, we don't need 30 parliamentarians to govern Barbados, and each parliamentarian has a secretary and personal secretary, a permanent secretary, an assistant secretary, and a waste of public funds and resources. A couple of errors in there. Parliamentarians have personal constituency assistants. Ministers have personal assistants, and they're two slightly different things. But anyhow, that's neither here nor there. The point that you're making is an important one. And then someone saying that the only person that heard about the buses was the last caller. He never heard about the buses. I never heard about the buses. So perhaps it was untrue to say that even as we speak, buses were being ordered. The reference to envelopes being stuffed, however, was one that at least one other caller who has messaged me on the WhatsApp said what she heard was, as I speak, envelopes are being stuffed. So whether they were being prepared or stuffed, there was some enveloping going on. Down to brass tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Wickham.
How morning, sir. I'm good. And yourself?
I'm fine.
Good.
I just want to raise 3 points here.
Sure.
I think I look at yesterday's paper, and I would have seen where someone would be asking about having a tax in place and so on to build the build and repair the potholes and roads and things like this. And so, but this is where I'm saying sometimes we have to look and see that Barbadians, like, we got some short memories in truth. Because what the person is saying there was already done in many years during the tenure of the late Tom Adams, when he would have realized that the roads were being eroded, the growing of the traffic and so, and he would have implemented a 2% levy to build the roads and repair them and keep them in good shape so that they wouldn't deteriorate. And if I can remember well, I think it was the same Democratic Labour Party under the leadership of the Right Honourable Errol Walton Barr that would have come and put all the money that was being there out of that 2% into the consolidated fund. Now, if we can want a tax now to build roads and things, my position is that it can be done under this present administration, and if it is set up, I can agree that we must have it set up in a way that it can be transferred and utilized other than for the purpose of fixing the roads and doing so, allocated so that nobody can take it and put it in whatever fund they like, so that we would find ourselves in the present position that we are in. Because I am sure that if that 2% levy was still on and still where it was, I am sure that we wouldn't be in this rut that we're in today with the roads, because the roads will be being repaired as they were at that time. So I would like Barbadians to remember that we already had a fund set up by the late Prime Minister Tom Adams to build and fix roads, and it was put in the consolidated levy by the Honourable Errol Walton Barr when he took over office in 1986.
That was point one. What's point two?
No, two. I would have heard a lot saying about the parents should be at home for the things with their children. I will tend to agree with that for this point, because I am hearing of too many instances where children will be doing things in school, and then either the parents, when they are called, the parents won't go. And then when they do get there and they go, rather than trying to understand what the problem is, they go with the view that the children are targeted, and therefore, instead of getting to the maximum problem and trying to get the children on the right path, they are looking and trying to victimize and give the teachers some hard times in doing these things. And I believe that it is time that the parents should be held accountable for the children. The third point is, I would have heard quite recently, everybody now is talking about the want to see the Bibles back in school and RE education.
You said everybody talking, not everybody, not me.
I heard all, but I just would like you to hear what you're saying, though. My position is that where I got my problem is that sitting down, I think it was Sunday night, and hearing, and that point would have been raised, and I would have heard that it ain't true, that it is still being taught in schools, and so I have a difficulty, because I know down in 2001 and back then there, I would have been making appeal for that kind of thing. But my problem with the Bible today, and I am saying there are too many mixed messages coming from the people who should be teaching the Bible that got it confused, because I ain't got no apologies to make about this. The Bible today in Barbados is not an instrument of teaching Christianity or that. It has become an instrument of raising wealth. Everybody using it now to become rich rather than teaching it in the way that it is to be taught. And that's the contribution I got to make, Mr. Okay.
You told me 3 points. There's only two?
No, that's the truth. three.
That's the three. Okay, sir.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Thanks a lot for calling. I got two messages I want to read from you. The first one comes from Philip Odo. Philip is saying, Peter, I'm curious. The UPP may be new, but pray tell what on earth is fresh or progressive about it, Philip. And this is a question that is entirely reasonable. A slightly more extensive comment comes from Mr. Carl Moore. And he says, Moderator, your caller from St. Andrew just raised an interesting point about parliamentary broadcast. Now that the technology makes it possible to broadcast debates from Parliament as they happen, bringing them into everyone's home, the question of parliamentary privileges becomes a fallacy. What is said inside the House and Senate is also heard outside of those chambers. A citizen of views on the floor of Parliament can be heard outside of Parliament and indeed around the world. I can sue you, Mr. Wickham, for something you say on the air. I should similarly be able to sue the Honourable Member for St. Silas for broadcasting something defamatory about me. The term step outside and repeat it no longer makes any sense. It has already been said outside. And that indeed is a profound comment from Mr. Carl Moore. And a reflection of the fact that these ideas that we have always had about parliamentary privilege and so has to give way to a reality that is somewhat different. And perhaps we have to find different ways of doing things. And this is perhaps for that reason that the speaker has to be more careful in terms of what members are allowed to say and not say. And he may have to expunge things from the record because the fact is that when he expunges it, is already out there. Interesting stuff. Dr. Brastax, good morning.
Good morning, Peter. How are you?
Morning, morning, Ms. P. How are you, dear?
I am fine. I am quite curious.
I saw you being canvassed a few days ago.
Yeah, by my favorite people.
Okay. Oh, your favorite people. I wasn't sure.
Always sure with me. I saw
both candidates in the field last Saturday, which was interesting, but I guess the other one didn't get around to you yet. She was up in Lodge Hill.
I never knew you were a peeping Tom.
But I wasn't peeping. I just passed a look. I was actually invited into the shop for a drink.
Oh.
Yeah. She was canvassing with no less a person than the Honorable Michael Lashley. So.
Michael Lashley?
Yeah, yeah.
Came to my door?
No, not to your door. Kim Trudeau was canvassing in the area with the Honorable Michael Lashley. It was a kind of a mass canvass situation, and he was one of the people.
Okay, so they came by our street?
No, in the street behind. And I was invited to have a drink, but unfortunately, I was rushing. I couldn't take up the offer.
Well, you should have taken them to the Pink House, man. That's the place to go now.
The Pink House?
Yeah, that's the place. We'll talk about that later, but that's the place in the neighborhood where you can feel safe and get very friendly and efficient service.
I see. All right.
I want to give three shout-outs today.
Mm-hmm.
One is to, believe it or not, Mrs. Undecided.
Mm-hmm.
She was on Sunday's Brass Tacks, and she brought up the idea that we should be utilizing recycled plastic to build our roads with. It's more durable. She obviously did her research, which the engineers that were guests on that program did not do. And that is pretty sad. You know, when you come to these programs, you need to be prepared for the caller's questions and know what they're talking about. Miss Undecided is absolutely correct. It is being used in Nebraska. It's being used in certain countries in Eastern Europe. And they've done a feasible study on it. And they're actually utilizing this recycled plastic.
Okay.
Okay? So if people want to know more about it, do some Googling. Do your own research.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I'm really going to bite my tongue this time. I have to give kudos to our regular caller, Arthur. Mm-hmm. I mean our everyday caller, Arthur.
You mean it's anti-America?
Arthur. Because yesterday was one of the best contributions he has ever made on this program, and I wish he would continue along that route, where we don't have to question what he says, where we don't have to run and Google in to make sure he's telling us the truth.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And he's not mixing lies with the truth. Yesterday, I really enjoyed his I don't know if the best of him was brought out by Dennis Johnson, but he did, or he crossed his eyes, he dotted his I's and crossed his T's, but he did an excellent job. One more thing. Of course I am a woman. Mm-hmm. I've known that from birth. I knew I would be attracted to men for the rest of my life, as my mother said. Mm-hmm. My mother used to tell me, give away my boyfriends to the first girl that wants them, because I will always have men around me. And it's true. The majority of my friends in Barbados happen to be males. But apart from that, we are ready for a female. And any man who thinks not, they have to write down a list of all the women throughout their childhood who nurtured them into becoming the men that they are today. A lot of them brag about, oh, it's not a woman's thing and blah, blah, blah. Who brought them up? Where were their fathers? On a boat to China. Most of them grew up with women, because most of my male friends never had a father. And they need to think about that. Yeah, I think she's ready. Lynette Eastman may be ready. And I wish you would stop talking about her. Let it be. Whatever you have with her, let it be. You understand, Peter?
All right.
And I'm talking to you from a motherly point of view. Let it be. Let this woman do what she needs to do in order to bring this country together. Because she's not doing anything destructive.
Okay.
Okay? Leave her out of your conversations, and don't let these callers manipulate you into saying any different. Okay. Now I'm coming after you.
No,
real hard. I'm coming after, hold on, I'm coming after you.
Just remember that we have to go to the regional roundup,
okay.
So you have to be quick.
It's going to be very quick. I hope Anti-America doesn't hold his breath waiting for that glass of wine from you, because I'm still waiting on my bottle of Baileys from you since 2013 when I told you that the DLP were getting back in.
I didn't remember that one, but thanks for the reminder. I will do everything possible to rectify.
I hope you do. Have a good day.
All right, thanks a lot. Good for hearing from you, Ms. P. I think that this is a point at which we have to give way to the regional roundup. We'll be back with you in about 10 or 15 minutes.